The Old Testament reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access, with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. Behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they'd offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text this evening is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, the gospel lesson just read. The sermon title is A Ruler to Shepherd God's People. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, The Lion King is a 1994 American animated musical film produced by Walt Disney Features Animation. The Lion King tells the story of Simba, a young lion who is to succeed his father Mufasa as king of the Pride Lands. After Simba's paternal uncle Scar murders Mufasa, Simba is manipulated into thinking he was responsible and so flees into exile. After growing up in the wilderness with Timon, a meerkat, and Pumbaa, a warthog, Simba meets his childhood friend Nala, a lioness, and his shaman, Rafiki, a baboon. Nala and Rafiki convince Simba that he was innocent of his father's death and that he must challenge Scar to end his tyranny and take his place as the rightful king. The Lion King may help you understand a little bit of what is going on in our gospel lesson this morning, which is the traditional gospel for the Epiphany of our Lord. I should say evening. Sorry, I'm getting this mixed up every time I say it. Christians have so romanticized, even glamorized, the story of the visit of the Magi that we often miss the main point. The main point is that Jesus came to earth to take his place as the rightful king of the Jews. Now, none of you, nor I, am a Jew. So what does this have to do with us? Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." John 4:22. It is through Jesus' authority as King of the Jews, that is, as the Messiah, that he conquered sin, death, hell, and Satan, and offers the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and a home in heaven. He offers these things to all who are baptized and who believe that he is the Christ, the Jewish Messiah, and the Son of the living God. Matthew 16, verse 16. How do we know that Jesus is the true Jewish Messiah that was foretold in ancient times in many and various ways? Most of the Jewish people of Jesus' day did not believe that he was the Messiah, although his apostles did. After his ascension, many others believed that he was the Messiah, and this all around the Roman Empire. The evangelist Matthew wrote his gospel primarily for the purpose of proving that Jesus was the legitimate King of the Jews. Matthew began his gospel with a genealogy which proves that Joseph, Jesus' legal father, was a direct descendant of King David through David's son Solomon. This genealogy meant that if the Jewish king and his dynasty, that is, King Herod the Great and his descendants, were wiped out, then Joseph and his son Jesus could be legitimate contenders for the throne. Now, King Herod already had to contend with many rivals to the throne, as the Jewish historian Josephus reported in the Antiquities that he wrote. Herod was the son of Antipater of the Edomite people, descended from Isaac's son Esau, and of Miriam, a princess of the Jewish Hasmonean dynasty. So Herod was only half Jewish by blood, though legally a Jew because born of a Jewish mother. Antipater was a Roman procurator like Pontius Pilate, who came after him, and used his position to elevate his son Herod to become governor of Galilee and king of the Jews. Members of the Hasmonean dynasty, who were Miriam's relatives, believed that Herod was a usurper, and they tried everything possible to unseat him or get rid of him. The Jewish people became accustomed to intrigues in court and even among the priesthood, as Herod and his wife's relatives vied for control of the Jewish people and their temple. All of this was the background to the visit of the Magi. Now we sing at this time of year the hymn, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." And I love that hymn. I sing it every time we get to Epiphany. But it's historically incorrect. The Bible doesn't tell us that there were three visitors. Where there might have been, there were probably at least that many. And we're not going to argue that point. But the identity of the visitors, who they were, is very important. They were magi from the east. The earliest use of the term magi in the Bible is in reference to the wise men the king Nebuchadnezzar II of Babylon had in his court. And you can see that in Daniel chapter 1, verse 20. Daniel soon discovered that some of these Babylonian wise men were his rivals. They were the same members of the court who plotted to have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace. That's in Daniel 3, 8 to 12. Although scholars and archaeologists have learned a lot in recent years about the many magi that were influential in kings' courts in Babylonia, Persia, and other places in the Middle East, it really doesn't help us know much about the particular magi who visited Jesus. We know that they studied astronomy because they talked about a star, which was an omen of the birth of the Jewish king. This is seen in Matthew 2:2 and verses 9 to 10. We know that they were either independently wealthy or were ambassadors for Eastern rulers because of the treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which they brought for the Messiah, as we heard at the end of our text. In every society in those days that had a royal dynasty, there was a group of priests, shamans, or magi that watched over the throne, that is, the office of the king. They did not have the authority to tell the king what to do, but they gave counsel to him when asked. Their most important role came when the king died or was killed. This is very similar to the cardinals that control who is going to be the next pope. The job of these magi or shamans or priests was to ensure that there was an orderly succession based on law, not based on rivals grasping for power. If there were no priests, shamans, or magi present, or they didn't do their job properly, the people were inevitably thrown into a civil war. In many cases, neighboring nations took advantage of the chaos and the civil war to conquer those nations and set up a governor subservient to their own king. Opportunity knocks, they say. And this is how the story ends in Shakespeare's Hamlet, when Hamlet's chaotic Denmark is invaded by Norway. You thought those Norwegians were nice people. This is why Herod the Great became deeply troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, when the Magi came knocking and asking about the newborn prince, the Messiah. And the story of the Lion King helps us right here, because the shaman in that story, Rafiki, plays the role of wise men or magi. If you're watching The Lion King and the shaman, Rafiki, is on stage shaking his magic rattle, you know that there's going to be a change in royalty. And if you are Herod and the Eastern Magi show up in your court shaking their rattles, it means there's going to be a change in royalty. Since Herod knew that none of his sons were having children, the star and the Magi visit were reliable omens of the end of his dynasty and his own death. So what does the star and the Magi visit mean to you? They're just one of many proofs in Scripture that Jesus is the true Messiah and the Son of the living God. The Old Testament history and its prophecies all point forward to Jesus as the true Messiah. The New Testament reports of Jesus' life and preaching about his life and work all point back to Jesus as the true Messiah. If Jesus is the true Messiah, then he is your king. And that's the message of the Bible in a nutshell. There's no in-between position, no gray area, nothing that requires a long-winded debate to settle. Either Jesus was the Christ or he was not. No middle ground. If he was not, then the Christian religion is a big fraud. If he was the Christ, then all of his teachings are God's commands, and all of his promises are God's promises. Then all of his apostles' teachings are also God's commands and promises. And this is the meaning for us of Epiphany and the visit of the Magi. Wise men still seek him, but only those who believe he is the Christ have found him. In Jesus' name, amen.